Tonight, what is God like? So that's what we're going to talk about tonight. What is God like? Before we get into that, here's my question. What does it mean to be good? What does it mean to be good? All right, I need an answer for this. What do you think? Who's got a thought? Yes? Listening to your parents, that sounds good. And being patient, that sounds good. Any other ideas?
Waiting for your presents.
In certain circumstances.
On bonus features on November in Cincinnati in America.
All right, Isaac, calm it down.
And Earth, and then on the galaxy, and then on the mountain.
All right, listening is important. Okay, so we sort of have an idea about what's good, and you know what's sort of not good, right, sometimes. But we use that word in different ways, too, don't we? So we say, like, I am good at basketball or something, if that were true. People say that sometimes, right? That's a little different than saying, I'm good at obeying my parents, or I don't know. It seems a little different. That ice cream sundae was very good. That's sort of a little different too, isn't it? So all those things are good, and I think that's probably a good idea to have, like, see, there it is, a good idea, to combine all those meanings together, sort of help understand. I think everybody knows what good is, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. But tonight we're going to talk about God being good. That's going to be the first one we'll get to in a minute. But how do we know? How do we know if something's good or not? Have you thought about that? How do you know if something's good? Like somebody might say, "Oh, well, I do my work this way." How do you know if that's good or not? Like if somebody's drawing a picture and they say, "Well, I draw it like this," how do you know if it's good or not? Ooh, that's really hard with drawing a picture, isn't it? That's kind of subjective. But especially, it gets a little more complicated with, well, I think saying these words is good. Well, I think saying those words is bad. Or this is some disagreement sometimes about what's good and what's bad sometimes. So how do we know? How do we know if it's good or bad? Some people say, it doesn't matter what you do. You can do anything you want. There is no such thing. But that's not really true. Nobody lives like that. Because there's always, like, if somebody comes and is mean to you, you know that's bad. And but they might say, well, no, I think it's good for me. Because how do you know? Well, let's talk about that. All right, go to the next slide. All right, so number one, God is good. We're talking about what is God like. The first way about him is God is good. Or the Bible uses this word, righteousness. You ever heard that word before? We talk about that in church a lot. We don't use that word outside of church a whole lot, but righteousness. That's what the Bible says that God is. That means God is good, and not just like he's kind of good. He's all the way good. He's perfectly good. Perfectly good. Imagine that. Perfectly good. Just think about that, Jordan. What do you think? Perfectly good. That sounds pretty intimidating, doesn't it? And God doesn't just do good things, he is good. So really what God does whatever he wants. That sounds sort of bad, doesn't it? Like if I did whatever I wanted, that would not be good for a lot of reasons. But God does whatever he wants, and it's always good. Because that's his nature. His nature is always to be good. So it doesn't matter what he does. Everything he does is good. And it's not like, oh, well, he does something bad, but then he says it's good. It really is good. Now, sometimes some things kind of like, you're like, well, I don't know. I don't understand how that was good exactly. But it is. If you think about it hard enough, everything God does is good. God is righteous, perfect. And if God says something is good, we ought to listen to him. So it's sort of like when your parents say, you better listen to me, or they'll say, now don't do this and this and this, and you think, well, why should I do that? Why should I obey my parents? It seems like I should be able to just walk across the street without anybody helping me. I mean, why is that such a big deal? And so maybe we don't always understand why certain things are, but if your parents are good parents, they're telling you some good things to do. They're telling that for your benefit. And that's the way God does for us. He tells us things to help us. And then we think, oh, well, I don't know if that's a good idea or not to follow God, but it is always a good idea because he has our best interest at heart. All right, go to the next one. God is also just. Anybody recognize that statue? That's right. It's the Lady of Justice. That's right. And you notice this in this statue, this stands for justice because she's got a blindfold on. Why do you think that is? Yeah, that's right. She's not choosing like the prettiest person or the most nicely dressed person that looks like they got a lot of money or something. No. She's going to judge based on right and wrong. And so that's the way God is. God is just. That means he likes justice. That means he likes things to be done right. Not only are God's actions good, they're also right, which is a little bit different. He likes things to be done right, and he likes people to be treated the right way. That's pretty important, isn't it? To treat people the right way. That's extremely important, and it's important to God as well. God cares especially about people who are helpless or who are being oppressed by somebody, like if somebody was like a slave or something, or they were not able to do what they needed to do because people were being mean to them. People who have been abused, God cares very much for those people. People who are mistreated because they're different from other people, God cares for those people very much. Now, he cares for all of us, but he especially cares for people who are extra vulnerable, extra helpless, people who just are in a situation where they just can't really help people doing bad things to them. God really cares about people like that, and he wants us to care about those people too. And so God is just. Now, the other side of this coin is, because God is just, that means sinners should be punished. Remember, that's what does every sin deserve? The anger and judgment of God. So a lot of people say, oh man, God seems like he's kind of mean because he punishes people. That's why she's got this sword here. That's the other part of justice, because sometimes there's punishment involved. And so you think, well, man, why should God do that? But you got to think about it in terms of the victims. Like, imagine if, let's say you went to rake somebody's leaves and they paid you $5. But on the way home, some big bully came up to you and hit you in the stomach and took your $5. Oh, that is injustice, right? That would be horrible, wouldn't it? That would not be right. That would not be just. That person should be punished, right? You would feel that, right? Because they shouldn't just be able to get away with something like that. That's horrible. And so God doesn't let people get away with things like that. If this is assuming that you're one of these people that's a little bit helpless and it's somebody you can't really fight against. But it doesn't matter if you can fight against them or not, because God cares about you. God cares about those situations. And so it is good that God is just. And we ought to care about that as well. Okay, let's go to the next one. Number three, God is holy. God is holy. All right, what do you think holy means? We talked about that on Sundays a little bit. Anybody remember?
I wasn't here.
You weren't here? Oh, well, you don't know. It's a good guess. It's a good guess. Sort of like, it's like God is sort of separated from us. Like he's way far above us. What is this a picture of? Anybody know? Yeah. The Ark of the Covenant. So when God was with the children of Israel and he was leading them through the wilderness, he told them to build this thing, and they built the tabernacle, this big tent around it, and they put this thing in the middle of it. And this is where the high priest would talk with God, or with Moses would talk to God, and God would come and talk to him. But they had some special rules about this thing. If anybody touched this thing, what would happen to them? That's right. They would die. Right. And that happened a couple of times in the Bible. Like one time they put this thing on a cart and moved it to another place, and it almost fell off the cart, and somebody reached up and tried to make sure it didn't fall. He died just like that. I know. He was trying to do something good too, but that's the holiness of God. It's kind of a scary thing, a little bit. In one place, the Bible says, our God is a consuming fire. Ooh, that's the kind of a scary image. But God is holy. That's because it sort of comes from his, hold your question a minute. It sort of comes from his, he is good and he is just. And he can't just say, well, I know you did something bad, but that doesn't matter. I'm okay with it. He's not okay with it because he's holy. And so that's really, really kind of almost a scary kind of part, because how can we live with God? The Israelites, they lived with God, but they had to do it. They had to have this tent to separate themselves from God. Only a couple of people could go in there. If somebody else went in there, they would be killed. So it was a very kind of difficult thing. Remember when Adam and Eve could just walk with God and talk with him. But after they sinned, that couldn't happen anymore because they wouldn't be able to withstand God's holiness. One day God wants to bring us together again and to make us holy enough to be with him. But anyway, that brings us to number four. This is our last one. God is love. God is love. What's this picture about? That's right, Jesus' crucifixion. Yep. That's right. God is loving. Or sometimes we say God is merciful. His mercy. So this is like the other part of justice. So God has to punish sin, but also somehow God is merciful. And God's not merciful just because he says, well, you know, I kind of like you, so your sin doesn't count. That's okay. Just between you and me, whatever. We'll pretend like that didn't happen. That's not how God's mercy works. What happened is that God's holiness and justice and wrath and the consuming fire, all of that part, that all went on to Jesus. Jesus had to endure that wrath of punishment of God. But because he did that, it makes it possible for us to be forgiven so that we don't have to face God's wrath and judgment and his justice, because we've done some unjust things. But instead of us being punished for it, Jesus was punished for it, if we will trust him. This is what John says in 1 John 4. He says, in this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. That means like the atonement for our sins, the covering for our sins, Jordan. He says, beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. That's like the other part of it too. So God's love, God doesn't just love in sometimes the way we do. We're like, well, I'll just sort of overlook what you did. That's not how God's love works. God loves by making this, offering his own Son as a sacrifice to pay for our sins. And so then, if we trust him, we can have our sins forgiven, and then we can experience God's love. He didn't have to do this. God could have skipped this part, and he could have just judged us all and given us exactly what we deserve for breaking all of his laws. But God didn't want to do that. He wanted to have a way for us to come back to him and to have fellowship with him once again. That's what we have. So as much as we'd like to be good, we'd like to be just, we'd like to be loving, but we don't often measure up, do we? Sometimes we're not good. Sometimes we're not just. Sometimes we're not loving. And so That's why Jesus had to come and repair our hearts, clean up our hearts, and give us a whole new nature. And really, God gives us a whole new mission to go and to do these things out in the world. So to show people God's goodness, to show people what goodness really looks like, to show people what justice really looks like, to show people what love really looks like. That's part of our job. If we become a child of God and we've experienced God's love, we ought to show that to other people and spread that goodness around to those around us. All right, let's bow our heads. We'll pray. Father, we thank you for the time that we've had together, and thank you for learning more about you, learning more about how you are and how you take care of us and what you care about the most, how good you are, how perfect you are. And we know that we fall short of that, but we know also that you've made a way for us to become holy like you are through the blood of Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.